one tell you what you can be. When concrete, don't let no one tell you what you can be. When God created you, he said you just like me. Hold your head up, it's time to stand tall. Your beauty says you can have it all.
Spicy enough for Valentine's Day for everybody. This is Wake Up Women and the Wake Up Women Wedding Show, and I'm your co-host, Suzanne Streisauer, with Nicole Brandon, and we want to wish you all a happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, absolutely. Happy Valentine's Day to all our listeners tonight. What a special night. What a perfect night to have a wedding show, isn't it? I just think it's fabulous, and I'm so excited about our guest tonight.
And we couldn't have engineered this any better, Nicole. I mean, you know, Thursday falls on Valentine's Day in our show. So, you know, how cool is that?
Absolutely.
So I want to put a special shout out to one of our fellow Wake Up Women leading experts who's with us at Wake Up Women as part of the core team of all the things that are happening with Wake Up Women. That's Debbie Allen. And just to let our listeners know, she actually was proposed to and said yes. So she is engaged to be married as a Valentine's Day present, which I just think is so special.
Wow, and what a special day. It's one of those days to always remember, to have a Valentine proposal and to know. I mean, there is no better way than expressing your love than to have somebody ask you to be theirs for the rest of their lives. So.
And he was so cute. He did it with M&M's.
M&M's, isn't it so cute?
He didn't get it. And so he had to kind of do a little bit of remediation there to kind of help her get to the point. And then there was a big yes at the end of it. So it was just very exciting.
Oh, I just love that. Of course, M&M's, you know, the M stands for marriage. And, you know, so I just think it's so beautiful. And why don't we talk about our guest tonight? Because I'm sure that she has been to many very special Valentines and photograph many special Valentines. So I'm really looking forward to having her here. Suzanne, you want to introduce her for us?
I would love to. And I've met this special woman, so it makes me even more happy to have her as a guest. And what an amazing human being. So our guest tonight is a dear friend of Nicole's and a friend of mine. And her name is Tamara Santana. And Tamara is a professional photographer, health and happiness expert, life coach, professional speaker, and advocate for children. She's dedicated to helping people discover their health, find happiness, and enjoy more meaningful lives through understanding. Tamara was born in the Midwest and raised by her parents along with her three siblings in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. After attending Northwestern Michigan University and obtaining her degree in commercial art, Tamara moved to Santa Barbara, California, to continue her education at the prestigious Brooks Institute of Photography. She received a Betty Brooks Holt Scholarship for Women Photographers and interned at the University of Missouri Workshop for Photojournalism, as well as Westlight, a Los Angeles-based stock photography agency. After graduating in 1991, she started her own business, Tamara Santana Photography, in Ventura, California. Tamara started her career photographing children commercially, and then reinvented herself to become one of the most sought-after wedding photographers in Los Angeles, with her photographs featured in Southern California Brides Magazine, Weddings and Brides, as well as in catalogs and billboards all over the United States. She was named Southern California's Bride's Choice Photographer several times between 2000 and 2005. Tamara has always continued to photograph events, but after 2007, she has dedicated a lot of her time to raising her two young sons, Devin and Dominic. She then dramatically changed her life in 2009 to pursue her dream of being in a loving, caring, and kind relationship with Internet pioneer Ben Newman and his two sons, Ben and Justin. Together, the couple have focused in their efforts of pursuing their dreams of helping other people overcome their business and personal life challenges. Today, Tamara enjoys speaking to other photographers about her experiences and also has a passion for teaching others how to take charge of your own destiny and overcoming adversity and fear through compassion. She enjoys teaching others how to get clarity in their lives so they can move forward through fear to success, and she feels that creating emotional safety for others to be able to learn as well as help children learn with disabilities to excel is her life's mission. And she has a couple of forthcoming ebooks, and she is the founder of an interesting place called the Genius Mind Academy. Tamara has become interested in learning issues, programs, and strategies to help two of her four children take advantage of their gifts and genius to overcome adversities of having the learning disabilities. And she's teaching them to find their passion and embark with creativity to create greater joy and fulfillment in their lives. Tamara has served in helping abuse victims and children of high-conflict divorces as a trained exchange monitor through a local organization. She's also a court-appointed child advocate and has taken on helping several cases for advocating for children in the foster care system. Tamara currently lives with her partner, Ben, and their four boys in the Los Angeles area. Tamara, welcome to the show. How great to have you, and what a diverse background.
Thank you for having me on, Suzanne. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, it's so nice. Tamara. Oh, it's so wonderful to have you here. And when I listen to your resume, I mean, what a rich, full, unbelievably incredible life. And knowing you, I even learned things as Suzanne was reading through this. And what I realized mostly is, you know, your heart, and that you're able to see things that other people simply don't see, whether that's, you know, being able to photograph somebody, or whether that's in a child, or whether that's in somebody's life and finance that needs to get to the other side. You're actually able to see people in a whole other light, in a whole other way. And what a gift you are as a person, and we're so excited you're here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so nice to be on. And congratulations to Debbie. What a wonderful way to spend this day.
Isn't it?
Wow.
We're so thrilled for her. We're so excited for her. And
yeah, what a great
thing.
Such
a wonderful guy. And we're just so pleased for both of them. So
now we get to move into the I do phase of her wedding. So, Tamara, since you set these beautiful wedding stages and scenarios and everything, talk to us about what it looks like at Valentine's Day in your house, or one of your favorite memories for what Valentine's looks like and you create in your world.
Well, we love to decorate for all the different holidays here, but especially Valentine's Day because it symbolizes love, and that's what we want in our house. We have a mantra here that, if you always have to try to come from being loving, kind, and caring. And it's created a very safe, wonderful place for all of us to interact with each other. And Valentine's Day just brings out a little bit more of that. We have a big, long white picket fence in front of our house. We typically always put something out there like hearts. And I think last year we had like hearts with beads and colors dangling off of it. And then when you come to our front door, we always have some sort of big heart. This year I didn't, but often I hang a big lighted heart in our window as well. We moved recently, so I can't find it, but I'm sure it'll show up at some point. And then we do twinkly lights and little hearts on our mantle and just candles all over the place. It's just really beautiful. And for me, I live with all boys. So for me, anything that I can kind of do that brings a little feminine touch into our world, it's, for me, that's extra special pleasure.
Wow. So, and what do you call your house, Tamara? Can you share with the listening audience what you call your home?
Tam and Ben's Casa de Amor.
Yes.
Ben.
Which I just love.
The house
Ben
of love. How cool
that.
Is that, Tamara?
Yeah. So we tag our house on Facebook with that all the time. Ben put that into Facebook, and that's been our thing since we've been together.
Well, so before we get started with you and wedding photography, talk a little bit about your own relationship history, because you've had your own journey to wonderfulness and what you're celebrating today. But share with us, your own journey, Tamara, because it's been a journey to finding Mr. Right for you.
It sure has, Suzanne. I've had an interesting time with that. I was married for a long time, and I have my two beautiful sons with my ex-husband, who's a very nice man on his own, very nice. But we just didn't know. We didn't mesh. I always felt like something was missing. And I met Ben, and we always had a wonderful friendship for a very long time. And at some point, maybe in 2007, 2008, I kind of had decided that my relationship really wasn't working with my ex-husband and that I really wanted a deeper connection with somebody, a more deep, intimate, just really lasting connection that I thought that the person really gets me, believes in me, feels the same way I do about our home. And, you know, somehow I just stumbled onto the fact that Ben feels that way. And we really connected over that, and we just decided that we were going to change our lives around and make it so that we could be together and raise our children with, you know, the dedication to making sure that they really understood what the deep love and respect could be between a couple and have that as their example of what they can have when they grow up. So I went through a pretty big change, but it's all pretty much settling down now, and we're really just enjoying our relationship. And, you know, we're still getting to know each other. We've been together for 4 years, but we're getting to know each other still a little bit, and it makes every day really fun. And he's just a really amazing person. He's you know, definitely my soulmate, and I couldn't ask for anything else in a man or in a partner at all. Super sweetheart.
One of the things I've loved is that you photographed this love story, your love story with Ben, and your love story of blending these four children together and coming together as a family. And as I've watched through the years, all of these beautiful photographs, and you get closer and closer, and the smiles and the happiness and the joy, and it's amazing. So how can you be inside it and also be photographing it? Because that, to me, is amazing.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that either. How do you do that wizardry, Tamara?
I just keep the camera close and keep watching for whatever is happening that's really touching. You know, of course, on special occasions, we often have, you know, family dinners and we have intimate times together. So there's all kinds of opportunities that come up when we're together that way. And I've been carrying a camera around since, I think, 1986. So, you know, it comes second nature to me just to have a camera close by. And with the invention, you know, of the iPhone being added into our lives, that has made life even easier because I don't always have to carry a professional camera in order to make good photographs. So that's been a real godsend, having this little tiny camera right in my pocket all the time.
Rana, do you think it's important do you think it's important for other people as well that have fallen in love to photograph their love stories the way that you have? Because
absolutely.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think it's really important to take, you know, photos when you're together and you're just in any moment that you feel very close with that person. You know, we're lucky because we have four little photographers running around that we can ask to, you know, take a photo of us if you know, if we're someplace special, even if we're just at the beach, all of us together, you know, we've gotten some beautiful photographs that way, and all of the four kids are great photographers, and they each have kind of their own style already. So, you know, letting that develop in them has been a joy for us as parents because we get to be the ones who get to, you know, get these beautiful photographs from that. But we also, you know, we also make occasions to take photos. We always take a family photo every year at the holiday time. You know, I like to take it in October because it gets really crazy busy in November and December. It's not always perfect, but we try to take it in October. And then, you know, we take photos at Easter. We take photos at Valentine's Day. I just posted today a photo of the four boys that, you know, we took for Valentine's. We try to do, like series year after year after year so that you can see the growth. On my mantle right now, I have all the photos that we've done for Valentine's Day since we've been together of the four boys. So we have, you know, this is the fourth year, and it's just beautiful to sit and look at how much they've grown, especially the youngest one, because his little face went from being like a chubby little baby face to being like a young man now. So the milestones, watching for the milestones in them and in us, because we've changed too, you know. not getting any younger, so things are looking a little different for us too. But it makes it really fun to have all of these different series of photos that we can kind of compare and contrast with each other over the years.
You know, that's great, Tamara. In doing the wedding photography and, you know, being a photographer for so long, was there anything that led you to really wanting to do that? I mean, you're just a being of love, but did you start out doing weddings? Was that your intention as a further expression of that, or did you sort of happen into that at somewhere along the way in your path?
I really happened into it. I started off doing, I've always loved children, and I always loved photographing children. So when I came out of college, I immediately started my own business doing children commercially. And I had, you know, Target, St. Joseph's, and a lot of big ad agencies that were my clients. And I did that for about 4 years, and then I got really tired of it because I was always crawling around on my hands and knees, and I had to have a pretty big staff for being, I think it was all of 23 years old. I had to have a, you know, large staff of like 4, 5, 6 people, depending on how big the shoots were and what was going on, and that was a lot for me. So I decided that I would move down here to L.A., and one of my friends, she was getting married, and I was in her wedding, and she asked me at the last minute, the night before, she told me, the photographer is really sick, and he can't do the photos. Will you take my wedding photos for me? And I had been photographing her for years. She helped me all through my college years. Every assignment that I couldn't find a model for, you had to use lots of varied models, but anytime I couldn't find somebody, she would always come and help me and, you know, come to my rescue. So I, of course, said, yes, I'll take your photos for you. I've never done it before, but I'll do it for you any way you want me to. Show me what you want. And she showed me, and the next day I did not put on my bride-to-be's dress. I went and, you know, grabbed my camera and took, I don't know, I think I took 1,500 shots that day. And I fell in love myself that day because I had such a blast. It was so spontaneous. With, you know, commercial children photography, you plan every shootout, and you use studio lighting, and it's not very spontaneous, and, everybody wants a certain look, and it's for commercial use, so it's a whole different thing. This was fun. I had a blast. It was like guerrilla warfare photography. It was that day, I felt something change for me, where I just went, wow, this is really fun. I really want to do this more. And then she referred me to a bunch of her friends, and my career started. And, you know, all these years later, I'm still grateful for her asking me to, you know, to photograph her wedding way back then.
Wow. So how many weddings do you think you've photographed in your tenure as a wedding photographer now, Tamara?
Oh, wow, that's such a good question. I'm not really sure, but over 500 at least. Honestly, I'm just not even sure, but I think at one point I lost track after 500. So
that's amazing. Now, a lot of times, Tamara, when people do their weddings, I know that they want to find a famous photographer, and sometimes we'll find like a famous architectural photographer or some studio photographer because they know they've taken, you know, pictures of these buildings or whatever that is, and then the pictures are terrible because the photographer can't be spontaneous, like you're saying, and they can't actually capture life. And so are there any clues or hints for the listening audience of how do you find a great wedding photographer? What do you look for?
You look for somebody who's going to be really easygoing on your day, because really the photographer should complement whatever it is that you're doing. I have a very, you know, easygoing personality. If you decide you're going to change something, I'm going to be right there anyway. It doesn't matter to me. With wedding photography, there does have to be a little bit of planning as far as the timeline goes. And most brides will come in and say, help me plan my timeline. So I have a hand in, like, you know, helping them structure their wedding so that they get the best possible photos out of their day. That's one of the most important things for a bride to ask the photographer is, you know, how much time do you need for the photography? Depending, in some brides they only need 15 minutes, and some brides they need an hour. It just depends on what they want to get in there, because some people want like a formal portrait with every single person that, you know, walks through their wedding. And other people are like, no, I only want complete candid photos. I really want very few posed. So if the bride is really heavily into the structure, then she should go with somebody who can kind of make sure that they know how to do all of those portraits. If it's somebody who really prefers, like, the candid, you have to make sure that that person can be completely flexible all the time and go with the flow. And for me, I'm a trained photographer, so I can do both. I'm, you know, able to, like, switch gears really fast, and that's an important thing. You don't want somebody who's, like, dragging their feet about, like, making changes or whatever. They're going to tell you how to do your wedding. No, you should work together on it, and you should really make sure that that person's personality doesn't irritate you at all when you're hiring a photographer, because you have to spend, you know, 8 to 10 hours on your biggest day of your life with that person. So making sure your personalities mesh is really the most important factor.
So, you know, as you're talking about all this, Tamara, one of the things that I'm thinking about is I had a good friend who got married last year, and she went and she just got a local photographer, and it turned out to be an absolute fiasco. So how is it that you recommend for people to, aside from just, you know, personalities that match, and are there certain criteria for picking wedding photographers about so you know their competency or what you can hope to get out of it?
Definitely. You should pick somebody who has a lot of testimonials on their webpage and ask them if you can call some of those people to make sure that they were really, truly happy. You should look at their website deeply and make sure that there's a lot of different examples of work on there so you can see that they truly have, you know, the experience that they say they have. You should go to their studio and look at their albums, look through all their samples, make sure that you really see that depth, because you're going to know that person's a true professional. A lot of people ask me, what kind of camera do you use? And, you know, that seems like kind of an odd question, but, you know, a trained photographer will be able to quote back to you, like, all about cameras and what kind of equipment is important. So making sure that that person just really knows what they're talking about is an important feature in any wedding photographer.
Well, that sounds good. So, you know, first you have them look at what you do, and then you sound like a real photographer, and then that's a kind of helpful place to begin.
Yeah, the work samples, I think, speak for themselves with most photographers. And, you know, you might come across a photographer who doesn't have a formal training that's an amazing photographer. I have one of my friends, very close friends, that she is not a trained photographer, but her work is beautiful. And I would use her for my wedding, definitely, because you go and you look at her samples and you just go, wow, you know, she really knows what she's doing. And, you know, I think most people, after they, it's such a visual thing that, you know, you can go on the Better Business Bureau and look at, you know, look for complaints. You can go to different websites that, you know, like WPPI, and see if the person is with that organization, or, you know, to see if that's a professional wedding organization. So there's different places like that you can look, but really, truly, if you look at the person's albums and see how, you know, how they're really photographing, and if it matches what you like, and it looks like there's just so much professional work there, you know you're getting somebody good. And you should also ask about album turnaround times, because most brides want an album. And the album turnaround time, you know, it just depends on the photographer. My album turnaround time for my old albums that I used to do used to take so long because I did everything handmade. The paper that the photos were mounted on was all handmade by, you know, people in Tibet. And the covers for the albums were, you know, these specialty handmade papers, and that took forever to do those albums. But now I use a different style of album, and it's much faster. I can have an album done in, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, where before it used to take, like, 3 months, 4 months. So, you know, you want to ask those questions about the albums and make sure that the person is using professional companies as well for their albums.
Right. And, Tamara, does the photographer help choose the photographs that go in those albums and help sculpt that and craft that, and should they be doing that?
Yes, they should be doing that. What I find is that when I choose the photos for the client, they're much happier than when they choose the photos, because I have a more creative eye, and I have tons of experience with it, so I know which photos are going to look great together. And, you know, when I'm taking the photos for the wedding, I'm often thinking about how I'm going to use that photo in the album. Like, there's a place that I do a lot of photography, and it has a big bridge. So most people get married on that bridge, and it's really, really, really beautiful. So I like to take that photo. It's very iconic, and spread that across two pages, and it just looks gorgeous. But, you know, a bride wouldn't normally think to do that because they don't know what their choices are. I know what all the choices are as far as page layouts, and, you know, after you do so many of them, you know, you kind of dream about it for weeks and weeks, and then it just kind of happens, and it just kind of flows out of you. It's really just part of the process. So, you know, some brides, they do like to be very specific about picking each and every photo, but for the most part, most brides are very happy to kind of give up control and say, hey, you do your vision, and then if I don't like a few things, then, you know, we can change a few things, and it just makes it much more fun for them, too. They get that album preview, and they just go crazy because it's done, it's beautiful, and they have an amazing product. So it's really, that's part of the joy of, you know, wedding photographers getting to do the album.
That's wonderful. Now, today is Valentine's Day, and so I have to ask you, since we have you on today, do a lot of people get married on Valentine's Day?
You know, yes, they do, but I actually have, for myself, I've never photographed a wedding on Valentine's Day.
Really? Oh, how funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. Part of it is because I've always been in a relationship, and there are certain days that I block out because I don't want to do anything. I want to have my, you know, have my own life. But if the right wedding came along, I would say yes to it for sure because, you know, you can always celebrate on an alternate day. But it would have to be something very, very special in order for me to give up time with my sweetheart to go off into a job.
Well, we appreciate you being with us today on Valentine's, knowing
that's
that
right.
Valentine's and you being with your sweetheart. And then I wanted to ask you, because Suzanne did not have this experience that I had, and I really look forward to sharing this with her at some point, but I had the opportunity to see you speak, and you were talking about the image and photography and how you fell in love with the image. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I thought that was just amazing and profound.
When I was in college, I went to college to be an artist. I came out of high school, and I knew I loved art, and I knew that it was something that I was really good at. So I went to college to be an artist. And I wasn't quite sure when I got there exactly what kind of artist I wanted to be. So I just enrolled in the general commercial art program. And the first semester, we had to take Photography 1. So I took that, and while I was in that class, every week we had to do an assignment and turn in for critique. And every week I noticed, wow, my photographs are just better than everybody else's, and I'm not doing anything different. Like, I would walk around with my friends, and we would take photos together, and when we would turn them in, mine would just kind of stand out a little bit, and I'd be like, wow, okay, that's really interesting. So I took every photography class there was to offer through that school, and at my final critique, all the students had to display their work. And at that final critique, I had my work up, and most of it was photography. I had a little bit of drawing. I also love to draw. But a woman, I'm not telling the story right. When this we had to turn in for our assignment. We had to turn in, I think, 3 or 5 critique sheets back in to do our final graduation. That was going to be it. And all of the public was coming through and critiquing our work. Everybody could invite whoever, and people just from the neighborhood just came over to the school and came to see all the art. So I had to approach people and ask them to look at my work. And a woman came up to me afterward and said, I'm so-and-so's grandma, and I just want to tell you I've been coming here for years and doing this, and your work stands out above everybody else's here. You have to make sure that you go and do something with your art, because I can tell that with you it's a passion and it's just natural. And I just started crying because I was like, she touched me so deeply because she noticed that it was my passion and it was what I loved to do. And it really was never a work or a job for me. It was always just something that I loved so much that it was just easy for me to take off with my camera and go and take photos of whatever it was I was going to be, you know, photographing that week. And that just really changed my pathway, because before that I was a little bit afraid about going into photography. You know, I had heard from, I come from like a really tiny community with lots of farmers and, you know, mechanics and people who are more, I guess, like realists. And they all kept telling me, you can't make a living being an artist. You just can't. You have to get a real job. And so I was a little afraid at, you know, I think it was 19, to like follow my path to become a photographer. I really didn't know any photographers, so I wasn't really sure what it meant. But I just said, you know what, this lady, she believes in me, and I believe in me, so I'm going to go off and I'm going to, you know, go to the next college, and I'm just going to go for it with you know, my photography, because it really is what I love. And so off I went to college, and, you know, I've been doing photography ever since, and I've never stopped loving it. It's always just been my passion. And I hope I'll be doing it for the next, you know, 30 years or so.
That's such a great story, Tamara. I mean, you know, Nicole's right. It's just amazing how you got to where you got in your life with all this.
And I think, you know, I've seen your work, and it's so beautiful, and that's it. The passion shows through, because your work is not like anybody's work. It's exquisite, and it's gorgeous, and it's beautiful. And beyond that, you see the life and the spirit of the person just coming through that photograph. And so that, I mean, that passion, that joy for life is what you capture, and it's captivating. It's really special. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. That means a lot to me that you're saying that. Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to when I can see that, because I, you know, having met you just briefly, Tamara, I mean, there's so much about what you do that's as life that's a work of art that I just think it's, you know, quite remarkable that you give that gift to people. And it's so personal and personalized that you do that in the way that you do it, that it's just pretty remarkable when you have, you know, a full plate besides.
Oh, thank you. You know, one of the things that I've just been, you know, one of the things that I've been experiencing, that's something that I guess is part of what makes, you know, me into such a good photographer and why I love photography so much, is that I am able to, like, hear what I'm thinking. Like, you know, I can, a lot of people, they don't hear their inside voice or their inner voice in their head, and I do, so I'm able to, like, say, oh, gosh, you know, look at that, look at what that person's doing over there, and be able to pick up on it really quickly. And, you know, I'm always scanning for, like, emotional openings with people and emotional things that are happening with people. And that kind of just, I guess, is just part of the essence of who I am. I'm like that with my children. I'm like that with my dog, you know. I'm like that with my neighbor. And it just leads over into the whole photo world, and I feel this deep connection with the people that I'm photographing. One time, a long time ago, one of my friends told me, you know, you can't photograph people you don't like, can you? And I said, not really. It's hard for me, because I do connect with the person so much during the photography that it just kind of creates a whole different realm for me. And that's, I guess, maybe why, you know, I love photography so much, too, is because I love connecting with people.
Well, for me, it's funny when you say that, because, you know, I've seen pictures of your dogs as well, and you're either just an amazing photographer all the way around and amazing doing animal photography, or those dogs are the very best models I've ever seen, because those pictures of those animals are just amazing. They're unbelievable. They are so cute, and they are so funny, and they're so curious looking, and they're so, I mean, I've never seen a single picture of your animals that just hasn't made me laugh and crack me up, and they're just, they're the best. So you do get that love, right?
Yeah, I think your dogs need a photo shoot, Nicole.
Oh,
I know.
You should have those little girls. That would be great. So
yeah.
Listen, I want to shift gears and move into some things that our guests and listeners can use in terms of some practical tips, Tamara. Like, one of the things you talk about is, how do you create photographs that will last as wall portraits? And maybe you have some, you know, some tips for that, but also some creative shots or angles that people could get for those kind of wall portraits. And you know, how do you put all that together in a way that's really so appealing?
Definitely. One of the things that I think is really important about wall photos is that portraits are beautiful, but portraits with a twist make great wall photos. When you're looking off camera, you're not looking into the camera, those often make the best big, huge wall photos, and they last a lifetime because you're not looking at the camera. It's when you are looking into the camera that it's maybe too overpowering to make a big wall photo of, but also if you turn the photo black and white, if the photographer takes it from a low angle or a high angle, if the subjects, the bride and groom, are smaller in the frame and there's a big landscape around them, those really just make, you know, gorgeous lifetime memories. There's often a way to kind of like put something in the foreground and have that blur out of focus with the couple in the middle that often just kind of gives depth to the photos. Those also look just beautiful. I can think of one photo that I have, hanging in one of my clients' homes that I think it's, oh gosh, it's big. It's probably maybe 50 by 60. So it's really large. And we started off doing just kind of like normal shots out on the beach. And then I decided, nope, I'm gonna put them up on this little hill. And, you know, in California, the beaches aren't really that hilly. They're kind of flat. But I just made a mountain out of a molehill, basically, by putting them up on this little slope and then laying down in kind of the not that tall grass, but I just laid down and it made the grass look lots taller, and photographed them kind of off into the horizon. And he ended up picking her up at one point and kind of twirling her around. And, I mean, I just got the most stunning photos, and they have absolutely humongous photo. And it's kind of blurry, and it has motion in it. It has motion and emotion in it. So it really just it works because I'm so easygoing about just being free and just saying, you know, if it's blurry, who cares? Just let's let it go, you know, because that's going to just add something to it. And just trying something new all the time. So, I think being open to letting experiences happen is a really great way to get beautiful, stunning, huge wall photos. I have one of my very first clients that I had was this girl who wanted her wedding was at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and she wanted to have she had a big, huge mantle, and she wanted a photo over that mantle. And so all night I was just working like crazy to get, like, some sort of stunning photo of them so that they would have this, you know, photo to put over their mantle. And so I took so many amazing creative shots, you know, big overviews, just all these, like, really epic photos. And she ended up using a portrait, and I could not believe it. But when we blew that photo up, her photo, when she would hold it beside her, she was bigger in the photo than she was in real life. And it worked, and it looked gorgeous, but I still laugh about it because it just depends on what the person wants and what, like, really, like, moves them. And that photo, that portrait of them, it really moved her, so it worked for her. And, yeah, you know, she had probably 20 other epic shots to choose from, but in the end, it was what moved her heart. And so, of course, I could always get behind that because if it moves the person's heart, that's what matters.
What great advice.
Absolutely. And then, you know, a lot of times people ask about lighting, you know, creating mood lighting, or is it better to do an indoor shoot or outdoor photography, like you're talking about the bridge or the beach or the mountain? And are outdoor pictures for weddings better than the indoor shots, or...
I love outdoor photography. I love the outdoors. I love hiking and biking and, you know, anything outdoors. But that's my personal preference. I have had clients who had completely indoor weddings. And, you know, that's a little harder to photograph because of it. It's, you know, it creates technical difficulties because you have to then light the shots more or you have to just work with the natural lighting, which for me, either one is doable. I can do both, but... if you really want those epic photos, then you kind of do have to light it. Sometimes with natural light, you can get some shots like that, but you're going to be more limited if you don't know how to use lighting. So, you know, you can always be looking for that beautiful window light if you're photographing during the day and you're inside. Doorway lighting, framing people in doorways, in windows. You know, furniture can often kind of be like a little bit of bounce light into people's faces, too, believe it or not. So you have to always kind of be scanning for what's bouncing the light up into the face to make it look really beautiful, big, soft lighting. So really, for me, I can work with either, but I prefer outdoor weddings just because of my personality and because I do enjoy guerrilla warfare photography, which is, like, really a lot of movement on my part of, like, trying different things and experimenting, getting in front of the bride and groom, then going behind the bride and groom, photographing them from every angle. And it's harder to do that inside. But it's doable. It's totally doable.
Now, you know, you're talking about, I mean, it almost feels like, you know, an epic production as you're talking about all this, Tamara. And I'm wondering, you know, when people think about what kind of costs they should be anticipating to pay, and how to kind of calibrate that as part of their wedding budget. What do you tell people? I mean, I can imagine if people are doing, you know, like epic life-sized photographs like that portrait you just talked about, it's going to be a substantial amount more than if it's just a wedding. But where's the range that you just generally tell people they should expect for what their wedding?
Well, they should expect to pay between, you know, on the very, very low end, you know, $2,500 all the way up to, you know, $15,000 to $20,000, depending on what you want. You know, I once did a 3-day shoot for, you know, a wedding, and of course that was on the higher end of the range. But if somebody comes to me and says, I just need 2 hours of photography, and I just want, you know, just some basic memories, I don't need my whole wedding photograph, you know, then they might be able to get away with $2,500. So it just depends on what the person wants. I've always done everything, like, very customized. I'm a very customized person. So I try to take each person as a individual and not kind of just, you know, package everybody together. I always have had packages and pricing that way just to have a jumping-off point. But then, you know, it can become very tailored just depending on how the person really wants and sees the vision of their day.
And are there certain shots that you always take, like, you know, the people, the bride and groom kissing, or the ring, or the bride getting dressed, or the garter or belt, or, you know, are there certain shots that you always want to make sure that you have in that photo album?
Absolutely. You know, for me, like, I don't need a checklist anymore because I've been doing it for so long. I know every single, you know, moment of what looks great on film and what is really important to brides. So for me, I can just go to the wedding and know that shot's coming now. This shot's next. I have to get ready for that, you know. And also, the bride always either I've worked with her on her timeline before the wedding starts, or, you know, she gives me a copy of whatever she created with her wedding consultant so that I know all the structure of what's coming. And if somebody wants something really specific, I always go for that and make sure that they have that. But there are certain shots that I get with every wedding. You know, I always get the dress hanging. I always get the shoes and whatever accessories there are that goes with the bride's outfit for the day. I always get her getting dressed if she wants it. Some people do not want it at all. Some people are like, no, I'm, you know, I'm too modest for that. And other people are like, yes, I want tons of photos of me getting dressed. You know, I've done lots of, you know, photographs of women who say, I want my body photographed because this is my time and this is when I look my very best ever. So please, you know, get as many shots of me as you can. And that's always a really fun experience for me because it's somebody letting me into their world and letting me into their very intimate life. And, you know, I have a real appreciation for that because it means they feel comfortable with me. And I really, that just really, you know, affects me as a human that somebody feels that comfortable with me. So I try to honor every request that a bride makes as much as I possibly can to make sure that they're getting exactly what they want. And that at the end of the day that they're gonna say, wow, that was a that was an incredible experience, and I could see that she was right there for everything that I needed and everything I expected. So when, you know, when somebody says that to me at the end of the night, they say thank you, and, you know, thank you for being there, then I know that I did my job and I did it well.
That's,
I love, you're such a romantic, Nicole. You just make this, you know, it's like I'm listening to a fairy tale as you talk about this. It's really sweet.
Thank you. Aww. And then do people want, you know, crazy photographs? You know, I was at a wedding recently where the bride and groom jumped in the swimming pool. And
yeah,
they have a picture of the two of them kissing in the swimming pool. And it's this beautiful photograph. It's this amazing photograph. And it was so spontaneous.
In
and
the wedding, they're like,
in
their,
yes, in
gown
her dress,
and
in her gown and everything, in the tuxedo, they just jumped in the pool. And, but this shot of them just jumping in their, you know, bridal dress and, you know, in the groomsman outfit through the air into the pool, this fabulous shot, and then flying through the air and then kissing all wet in the water is just a beautiful shot. And is it fun? Do people take really spontaneous, crazy shots? Or
it always depends on the people, but yes, some people, they really love to do, you know, wild and crazy things. And I probably had maybe 6 or 7 people that have jumped into some sort of water, the ocean, pond, you know.
That's the baptismal at the wedding.
Yeah, it just depends on their personalities. You know, often at the reception, things can, you know, people let their hair down and things can get a little crazy. You know, I've seen plenty of boobies at weddings and things like that when people let loose and try to go crazy. At my own wedding, all my bridesmaids jumped into a fountain and were like dancing in the fountain. And we have, you know, great memories of that. I still love to tease them when I talk to them about how they, you know, how they went wild at my wedding. Girls gone wild. So every wedding's different.
That's,
I didn't
funny.
Mind. I thought it was great.
And how about any advice for the kids, like for the little boy that's the ring bearer, the little girl that's a flower girl, and, you know, photographing the children as well?
Well, with the children, I mean, they're just so special and so perfect the way they are. I really don't have to do anything except put them into the place where they're going to look, you know, super cute and just click away. I mean, you know, usually the bride has a special bond with the children of her wedding often. So that, letting that shine through is just, you know, that's one of the joys and easy tasks of wedding photography is the kids. I mean, it's always so much fun to see what they're, you know, what they're going to wear, how they're going to react when they have to walk down the aisle, if they're going to do it at all, first of all. And then, you know, some of them are so, like, they run and they're crying, half crying, and then others are so proud and they're, you know, they're carrying the ring with such pride, or they're scattering the roses with such gusto. You know, some of the girls are throwing them up in the air and the other ones are, like, throwing them on the ground and trying to get it done as fast as possible. It's so cute to see who's going to do what.
Oh, that's funny. I have friends of mine that got married, you know, actually know them, and they just got married up in Whistler, and they have a teenage son, and he was not so very excited to be the ring bearer as a teenage boy. And what they did was they got a box with dry ice, and they put the ring in it, so when he opened the box, the dry ice and all the snow came out, and that was kind of cool. So he was like,
very creative.
So that was like, so he liked doing that, you know, and making,
yeah,
the magic trick happen. But, you know, so just trying to find what will work for those children is,
yeah,
always such an interesting journey.
What a fun way to get him involved.
What a great way. What about parents and you know, divorced parents and step parents and troublesome people? How do you deal with that, Tamara? And, you know, I guess it's not really, you know, your problem. It's the bride and groom's problem. But how do you counsel them? How do you help them sort that out, both, you know, in terms of what's going on during that day and also in terms of the pictures?
Well, I always find out ahead of time when, you know, during the consultation, the very first consultation, I find out, are your parents married, unmarried, remarried, you know, and I find out the whole family structure ahead of time so that I can plan for that and so that I can help them. Because some people, they have divorced families and everybody gets along and it's so easy. And I learned a lot because I was in my early 20s when I started, you know, doing wedding photography. And I didn't have a lot of experience with any of this. So I learned a lot by just listening to what people were telling me and really respecting what they said. They know their families really well, and they know the characters in the family. So I would take, you know, a lot of notes about, okay, you know, this person doesn't like this person. Don't put them in the same photo. And I would really, like, study that before I got to the wedding to make sure. And then I would ask, okay, tell me who that is. And you can kind of, after a while, you start to spot those people that might be difficult and or overbearing. And, you know, I learned to, like, to say nicely to them, hey, this is their day, and let's make it a beautiful day for them in a way that they would be, you know, tearing up and saying, yes, let's, and joining me in making sure that it would be a great experience for everybody. If that person wouldn't join, then what I would do is I would kind of let them go off on their own and do their thing, but then I would take the bride and the groom over to them. Instead of making them come to us for photos, I would go to them. So they didn't have to get out of their seat if they didn't want to. They could sit down and get photos and have the memories, and the bride and groom would have the memories, and they could choose to, you know, purchase the photos afterward if they wanted the memory. And they still felt included, even though maybe it was a hard situation for them, because, you know, obviously if somebody's having a hard time at a wedding, you have to have compassion for them, because you have to think, wow, you know, what happened to them in their life that this is so hard, this is such a joyous day that it must be something really emotional for them. So I always try to, like, look at people with a lot of compassion and make it work by going around all of those emotional, you know, outages that people kind of have and make sure that they're still having a good time. I was always very successful with that.
How intuitive. And, you know, what a great thing, Tamara. I mean, what a blessing to people to have you to do this in that way.
That's what I was just thinking, that people that are listening can also tell just what an incredible life coach you are, you know, what a great coach you are, and being able to help people break through in every area of their life, just because you just see people in such a tremendous light, and you have so much compassion, you have so much vision and insight that other people don't have, and just to people's lives and emotion and world. And so, you know, what a blessing, and I'm really, you know, excited for people to find you. And then I have, you know, sort of a delicate question. Do people tip the photographer?
People don't. I had a few people that did that, but honestly, I would turn around and say, you know, you gave me, you know, $100 tip at the end of the night, and honestly, you know, you paid me enough. So I would say, I'm going to give you back, like, a big, beautiful print, and I would send them and say, thank you for, you know, for what you did, the extra you did for me. I want something extra for you. Because, you know, I just feel like there's so much going on in the wedding that as a wedding professional that they don't have to do that for me. And I felt like if they did, that I really just wanted to repay them back for being so conscientious, because most people don't tip for weddings. Maybe for the other vendors they do, but for the photographer, generally they don't.
Now, talk about, you know, Nicole just mentioned, Tamara, that you're kind of moving into a coaching practice. Now, talk about our coaching, because we don't have that much time left with you. So I want you to talk about your coaching and some wedding don'ts, if you would. And then we've got to have you give your contact information so we can make sure people can find you. But maybe the wedding don'ts first, and then about your coaching practice.
Okay. Well, wedding don'ts would be, you know, don't get yourself all emotionally crazy right before your wedding. Make sure that you've rested, that the people around you are being nurturing and caring to you. If somebody isn't, then, you know, take a step back from them and make sure you take care of yourself, because it's your day and you don't want it to be, you know, ruined by somebody who's you know, over your boundaries or anything. Wedding dues, you know, be kind to yourself for the weeks coming up to your wedding, because there's just going to be so many people pulling on you for information about what's happening that you just have to take a lot of deep breaths and be really, really kind to yourself. I do have up online at strikingweddingphotos.com a list of 20 things that will make your, you know, wedding easier, and that you'll get better photographs from it. So if anybody, you know, wants the tips on how to make your wedding photos stunning, then, you know, go to strikingweddingphotos.com and you can download the tips from there. You asked me another question, and I want to make sure I answer it. It was
about your coaching. Yeah, about your coaching.
Yeah. I do mostly one-on-one coaching, a little bit of, you know, group sometimes, but it seems like lately a lot of it has to do with parenting, and we have two children with different learning disabilities, and I've really, in the past, you know, 5-6 years, I've really gone deeply into that to find out what is it that makes people shine when they're learning and helps people to feel brilliant about their life. Because when we feel brilliant, then nothing can stop us. I know that, you know, my experience when I went to college and, you know, I felt absolutely brilliant about what I was doing, nothing could stop me. And I want to make sure that parents are able to look at their children and say, this is where they're brilliant and this is what I have to do to help them to find that brilliance and to feel that brilliance and therefore feel their strength and their courage to forge ahead with what it is that they're really good at. And the other things that they're not necessarily, you know, having great success with, that those things can be kind of faded a little bit into the background so that the child can go ahead with what they're really talented at. So it's taken me, you know, a lot of time to, like, make sure that people really understand that letting your child have their say about their life and being able to be able to really find their confidence, and that it's okay to not be perfect at everything, because in our, you know, system nowadays, everybody is supposed to be good at everything, at every subject in school. But that's just not really reality. So, you know, helping people to come back to the reality of, like, hey, you know, when we were kids, we weren't great at everything. You know, we excelled at this and we didn't do great at that, and that's okay. So, you know, helping people to kind of find their place and get clear about what is important to them with their children and how to parent them so that they feel engaged and that they feel like they can let their children kind of be individuals and not just little replicas of them. A lot of people will try to parent from their own, you know, parenting stance, and that just doesn't work in today's world. So finding their own true nature in parenting, you know, my parents were young and they shouted a lot, and I just don't like that. So, you know, we don't really shout at our house, and we really keep, you know, if there's any shouting, it's like, hey, come to dinner. It's not, you know, kind of this overall meanness. We want to keep everything just really caring, because that really leads children to be able to open up and feel comfortable in their own skin and feel comfortable in their home. And then when they open up, they start talking to you and telling you things, and then you're listening and you're getting to know them and you're knowing what's important to them, and you can see where they what they want to do in their lives when you listen. So reminding parents that's, you know, a really important aspect. I could go on and on about this forever. I know we only have a little
bit of time. That's great. So would you please make sure that you share with all the listeners, you know, your phone number and email to contact you, your websites, because I'm sure people are really eager to talk to you. So
thanks, Nicole. I can be found online at TamaraSantana.com. My email is Tamara@TamaraSantana.com. And going to strikingweddingphotos.com is a great way to, you know, engage with me, because I do have the tips online. But you can also, you know, join my mailing list. And I'll, you know, if you're not into weddings and you want to know about parenting, then, you know, feel free to go there anyway and just send me a little note with your list, you know, with your mailing address or your email address, sorry. And, you know, I'll separate you out and contact you about parenting if that's what you need. So,
Tamara, thanks for being such a blessing to us and our show. And I want to let you know our guest for next week is going to be another amazing woman from Hollywood, who's dressed the stars and is an image maker to the stars, and that's Sherry Geffen. So join us again next week for our wedding show, Before I Do, I Do, and After I Do. And in the meantime, for whatever time is left for you,
Happy Valentine's
Day. Happy Valentine's
Happy
Day.
Happy Valentine's.
Awesome.
And Tamara, thanks to you again. Thanks, Suzanne. Happy Valentine's to you both.
Happy Valentine's Day
you
to you too, Nicole, and have a great
Thank
show
you.
Next week.
Thank you.
Thank Bye. You. You too. Enjoy sharing.
No one tells you what you can be. When God created you, he said you just like me. Hold your head up. It's time to stand tall. Your beauty says you can have it all.